This morning, we are thinking about a vision of being prayerful. The past few weeks, we've been doing a short series following our Vision Day, looking at three core elements of our vision for 2019. So 2 weeks ago, I spoke about a vision of being present. Last week, Gareth shared with us about a vision of being in partnership. And this week, I'm talking about a vision of being prayerful. And this small series is helping us to consider how we might live out our verse for the year, which is about being oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of God's splendor. And to do this, we must be present, we must be in partnership, and perhaps most important of all, we must be prayerful. Tomorrow night, I said that our church gathering, we're going to be joined by some of the trustees of the Honeycomb, and they're going to be sharing a bit about the work that they do in the community, and we'll be praying and considering together how we might work more closely together in partnership. As part of that evening, I hope that the trustees of the Honeycomb might actually remind us of some of the story about how the Honeycomb started up. Many of you will already know some of that story, but the thing that stands out to me is the amount of prayer that took place in the lead up to that shop opening in the village. And prayer really laid the foundation for the vision that God had given to them. If you want to know more about that, you can talk to some of the people who were involved in setting that up. I know Derek Sanderson sat there. I think it was Derek who told me about how much prayer had been involved in that. And then I've also been quite involved in Renew Wellbeing. I've talked about that a lot. And the story of how New Life Baptist Church set up Renew 37 Wellbeing Cafe in West Bridgeford was very similar. Lots and lots of prayer took place before a vision eventually came together and a cafe space opened there. And even once they had the cafe, it was an empty shell, and they went in there and they prayed before it eventually became a well-being cafe. I believe that as a church, we're on a similar journey now to that which the church went on when they opened the Honeycomb all those years ago. We have a desire to be more present in the heart of our community, to be more visible, and to offer more time and space to the people around us. In meeting with the Honeycomb trustees tomorrow, as well as this being a time of encouraging each other and seeking to partner more closely, I hope we might actually learn something about the importance of prayer in seeking God's heart for the future of our church in the village here. As we seek to refine our vision of being more present, I am certain that prayer must remain at the heart of it all. At the end of our vision day, you'll remember that we had several possible options of how we might move forward with vision. And we had three stickers each that we could put on different things and vote for our preferences in the next steps we might take. And I was really encouraged that the majority of people voted for the option, voted for prayer. And this tells me that as a church, we value prayer, we have a vision for prayer, and we want to make prayer a priority in discerning God's heart for the future of this church. If you didn't think it was important, you wouldn't have voted for it on that day. And so I think as a church, we see prayer as really important in discerning where God is leading us next. And so what does a vision of being prayerful look like? Well, I think a good place to start is to look at some of what the Bible teaches us about prayer. There's a lot in there, so it's hard to go through it all. But the most obvious thing that we learn in Scripture is that prayer is really important. A very simple point. It's essential to our lives as children of God and followers of Jesus. Prayer is talked about so many times in the Bible. In the New Testament, it's taught about quite clearly. The word prayer is mentioned on a number of occasions, particularly in the letters that Paul writes. He spurs the church on to pray, teaching us how and why we should pray. Just a few of examples of how Paul teaches about prayer in Ephesians 6:18, he says, "And pray in the Spirit on all occasions, with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep praying for all the Lord's people." In Philippians chapter 4, he says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. And then in Colossians chapter 4, it says, devote yourself to prayer, being watchful and thankful, and pray for us too, that God may open the door for our message, so that we might proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains. So these teachings all reveal to us the importance of prayer. And Jesus also revealed how important prayer was in his teaching and through his lifestyle. When the disciples asked how they should pray in the passage that we read earlier, Jesus taught them the Lord's Prayer, which we all know very well. But he also taught them prayer through stories. In Luke, in that passage from Luke chapter 11, following his teaching, he tells the parable of the man who goes to the friend in the middle of the night asking for bread to feed his guest. And the friend inside the house refuses, but the man is persistent and continues to ask for bread. In this story, Jesus says, I tell you, even though he will not get up and give you bread because of your friendship, yet because of your shameless audacity, he will surely get up and give you as much as you need. Jesus is teaching that God, who loves us so much more than this friend, will surely give us everything we ask for in his name if we are persistent in our prayer. There's a similar parable in Luke chapter 18, the parable of the persistent widow. Some of you might know this. In this story, there's an unjust judge who doesn't follow God or care much for the people. And a widow in the town keeps approaching him and pleading for justice against her adversary. And eventually, the unjust judge answers her plea, not because he believes in God or because he cares for the woman very much, but because of her sheer persistence. And Jesus makes the point that if this judge who has no faith or care answers to persistence, surely the God who loves us so much will always answer if we persist in our prayers. And so Jesus reflected the importance of prayer in his teaching, but he also did that in his lifestyle as well. On numerous occasions, he took himself off to a secluded place, whether a mountainside or in the Garden of Gethsemane, to pray. Jesus prioritized time with the Father, and he recognized he could only fulfill the mission that God had given him by remaining in constant communication with the Father. We also learn a great deal about prayer in the Old Testament as well as the New. There are some more obvious teachings on prayer, like in 2 Chronicles, which says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and will heal their land. But there are also many examples where the word prayer isn't explicitly mentioned, but the importance of prayer is revealed through God's relationship with his people. I think David in the Psalms is a really brilliant example of someone who has so many different conversations and interactions with God. David cried out to God. He praised God. He confessed his sins to God. He prayed to God for other people. He sat quietly with God and allowed God to search his heart. If you want to learn more about prayer, then actually the Psalms are a really excellent place to start in learning how to communicate with God no matter what we're going through in life. They help us to see the importance of living in a constant and honest communication with God. And so throughout the Bible, we can very clearly see the importance that is placed on prayer. And this is revealed to us through God's relationship with various people throughout the Old and New Testament, in the life and teaching of Jesus, and in the teachings of Paul and other biblical writers. But Scripture teaches us more than that prayer is important. We actually learn in these passages that prayer is way more than just being important. It's not an option. It's essential to our faith. If we want to have a relationship with God, if we want God to be a part of our lives as individuals and as a church, then prayer is essential to our faith. The Bible very clearly teaches us that prayer should be our highest priority in everything we do, in all seasons of life, and in whatever circumstances we face. So prayer is essential to our faith. But Scripture also teaches us that prayer takes many different forms. There's no single way of praying. Jesus, his answer to the disciples, teaches how to pray, is to give them the Lord's Prayer as a model. But I don't think the Lord's Prayer is the way that we always have to pray. Every time we pray, we should pray the Lord's Prayer. But actually, I think the Lord's Prayer was intended to be a model to help us to pray. It's not necessarily meant to be a prayer that we always reel off in one go, but it teaches us the essential elements of prayer. So, Our Father in heaven, holy is your name. That bit of the prayer is teaching us to praise God, the importance of praise, recognizing who he is. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. That's more about intercession, or another word that's often used is supplication, praying for other people and other situations in our world. Lord, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, seeking God for provision. Forgive our sins. It's about confession. Lead us not into temptation and deliver us from evil. It's about praying for protection. And so the Lord's Prayer leads us into several different areas of prayer, all of which are important. And we can pray all these things in one go, and we often do pray the Lord's Prayer. But we might want to take this prayer and pray it in a slightly different way. We might only want to pray one element of this prayer at a certain time. Our prayer life might take on a different focus depending on the season of life that we find ourselves in. We might have a time when we focus more on praising God, but in another season we might spend more time confessing or asking God to provide for us or to protect us, depending on what we're going through in life. In Scripture, we find people praying to God in a way that relates to their situation and their experience in the present day. So in some of the passages that we've already looked at this morning, there was one passage where Paul said, pray also for us. And he referenced the fact that he was in chains at that time. He was going through a difficult time and he wanted people to pray for him. Earlier, I also mentioned David, who at times praised God, at other times confessed, on other occasions thanked God, and at times he shouted angrily at God and asked God why he was experiencing so much suffering and pain. So prayer doesn't just take one form, doesn't need to just take one form. It's varied and it may be different for each person depending on who we are and also depending on the experiences that we are going through in life at that time. A couple of years ago, around the time we moved into Wilford Crescent, I found that I was feeling quite exhausted and I couldn't really work out why that was. And some of it, I'm sure, was down to moving house and all the stuff that comes with that. But it was actually a bit deeper than this. And at the time, I started meeting with my spiritual director, who's a bit like a mentor. And as we chatted, I realized that I'd grown up in a church that had taught one very particular way of praying. But this wasn't working for me in the same way in this season that I was in. I'd become spiritually exhausted, trying to pray for everyone and everything, trying to have a set quiet time every single day. And I felt guilty if I hadn't had that quiet time each day, and if I hadn't prayed through the Acts model of prayer. Some of you have heard of the Acts model: adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and supplication. You have to pray through all those things in one day. I was encouraged to try something new and began to learn a bit more about contemplative prayer. And I began to have a time each day where I sat quietly with God, just considering maybe one word about God or a phrase or just one verse from the Bible. And I found that at this period that I was going through, this released me from feeling a need to pray with many words and to pray for everything, and instead brought me into the presence of God. And in the quiet, I felt more able to praise God, to thank God, to listen to God, to confess and to pray for others. And it felt less like a chore and more like a relationship with God. And that's what was important in that season. Now I'm in a different season of life, and so my prayer life might look slightly different. I'm not always just sitting with one word or one phrase. Sometimes I do want to pray in a slightly different way, maybe praying for other people or praying for situations in the world or joining with other people to pray. But in that season, that was the right thing for me. And so there is some importance in considering what season you are in at this time and what your prayer life might look like, what leads you into the presence of God. We must also recognize that we are all different and we all relate to God in various and different ways, and a style of prayer that's helpful for one person may not work for another person, and we shouldn't force someone else to pray in a certain way or tell them that they're doing it wrong. We can learn from each other. I think even if we don't pray in the same way as other people, we can learn from one another. And you may have noticed that in services recently, we've had a number of different people leading prayers. And I know Jane led a couple of weeks ago, and Dina has led prayers in the last few weeks. And this is a way of us sharing our prayer lives with each other and a chance for us to learn different styles of prayer from each other. And no one needs to feel forced to join in with that. But if you find a prayer time helpful, then why not try something out at home in your everyday life? Speak to that person who led prayers and see if they can teach you how to pray in that way. If it's not helpful, just leave it here and try something else out. So prayer is essential. Prayer takes many forms. And prayer is about relationship with God above everything else. A well-known Christian writer, Jean Vanier, some of you may have read some of his stuff, wrote that prayer is not first and foremost about saying prayers. It's about opening the most intimate part of ourselves to God. It's discovering that in the deepest part of our body and being there is a source, and that source is God. Whatever way we decide to pray and whatever season we find ourselves in, prayer should always be about relationship with God. Our intention should always be to connect our heart and our mind with God's heart and God's mind. We might do that through praise or lament. We might do that in quiet meditation or praying out loud with a list of people and places or on a prayer walk. How we pray doesn't really matter all that much. The important thing is that we are open and honest with God, and our prayers lead us into his presence. Another writer, Henry Nouwen, says that prayer is the discipline of the moment. When we pray, we enter into the presence of God, whose name is God with us. To pray is to listen attentively to the one who addresses us here and now. To pray is to listen to that voice of love. I think this is a similar message. It doesn't matter how we pray. As long as our prayers lead us into the presence of God, whose name is God with us. Nouwen's understanding of prayer is less about what we do and say, and more about listening to the God of love. But again, the emphasis here is on relationship above everything else. Pointing back again to David in the Psalms, his communication with God was always open, it was always honest, it always revealed the most intimate parts of himself and the experiences that he was going through to God. And this led him into God's presence. In Matthew chapter 6, Jesus condemns the Pharisees and calls them hypocrites who love to pray, standing in synagogues and on street corners to be seen by other people. And then he says, "Do not babble like the pagans, because they think they will be heard because of their many words." In these passages, Jesus is instructing us to pray honestly and to pray with the right intentions, not to try and impress others, not to babble like the pagans, hoping that God might answer, but to have a real relationship with God in the way that we pray. God's vision for prayer is that he might live in relationship with us. That has always been God's desire. Prayer is God's design, and it's his desire that we enter into his presence with honest and open hearts, sharing and listening to what he has to say to us. And so to bring all of this together, what does a vision of being prayerful look like? Well, I think first it's a recognition that prayer is essential to our Christian faith, that we cannot live as followers of Jesus without prayer. It's also about learning to pray in each season of life, encouraging each other, not forcing our own prayer lives onto others, but helping each other to recognize what season we are in and to enter into God's presence together. And that's the third thing. It's about entering into God's presence, opening the most intimate parts of ourselves to God and listening to the voice of love. And so that is a vision of being prayerful based on those scriptures that we've looked at. But what is our vision of being prayerful at RBC? I think, as I said earlier, the vision day showed us a clear desire to pray more for our church and for our community and for the future of our church. And we identified prayer as an important next step in discerning God's heart for our future. But what does this actually look like in practice? How do we go about praying more together? We already have a range of opportunities for people to get together and pray. So we have the Monday morning prayer at 9:30. We have our church gatherings like this one that's happening tomorrow night. We have our small groups. We have Friday morning prayer that I think Ness leads. And we have our Sunday services, opportunities to pray together when we meet together here. And we're also starting to plan another 24-hour prayer event for later in the year because that was quite popular when we did it. People seem to enjoy that, and a number of people have said, are we going to do that again this year? So we're planning another one of those as an opportunity for people to pray together. But I'm actually reluctant to put on any more prayer meetings. Firstly, because often when we put on prayer meetings, attendance is actually quite low to them. And it's just another thing that people feel they have to attend. And we've also just talked about the fact that we all pray differently and in different seasons. And this was something that I realized recently with our leadership team. We had a prayer meeting where we got together and one person wanted us to pray for each other. Another person wanted us to make a list and intercess for the needs of the church. Another person wanted us to use sung worship to praise God. And perhaps another person might have wanted to just sit quietly. I've been considering how we might pray more effectively together in a way that enables us all to seek God's heart for this church without putting on more meetings that people feel obliged to come to than the ones that we've already got on. And what I've been wondering is whether we can have some kind of church rhythm of prayer that we all agree to pray at a certain time or agree to pray at least once a day for RBC and for the community that we're in here. But to do that in a way that enables each person to enter into God's presence, to share their hearts and to listen to what God is saying to them for our church. And so within this, one person might go on a prayer walk or a few people might want to go together. A few other people might want to gather together if that's what they find helpful. Some people might just want to sit quietly and meditate. You can pray in your own way, but everyone committing to praying for the life of our church. Another idea is that perhaps we could have some kind of prayer menu that people can select from things that they are going to pray into in this week or this month, an idea of how they might go about praying for these things. These are just a few practical ideas of how we might pray together as a church, as well as getting together and praying corporately. But these are just a few of my ideas. And I don't want to do those things if they won't be helpful. And so actually I want to hear from you as a church this morning, because you said at the Vision Day that you want to prioritise prayer and make it a next step for us as a church in discerning where God is leading us. But if I put on a prayer meeting, would you come? Is that what you want? What are your prayer ideas for RBC? How might you pray? And how might we as a church help and encourage prayer to make it something that we can all do together? And so I just want you to take a moment just to think about that this morning. You said you want to prioritize prayer. How are we going to do that. You've heard a few of my ideas. What are yours?